middle of the room and gives light to everybody in the house. In the same way, let your light shine so that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, good morning, you beloved community. So thankful for your presence today here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. We have several of our friends who are back today from different travels all over the world and the state, and we have lots of several others who are still gone or gone this week. And welcome to all of you who are present today, especially those of you who are participating in the life of this church online. Thank you for joining us this way. You see some cards up on the screen. Many times I forget to mention those, but you see them there anyway. Whenever I fail to mention them, fill some out anyway. Those blue ones letting us know you're here. Those pink ones, if you have any celebrations or prayer requests you want to share with our shepherding team. And those yellow ones are especially nice, sending out some encouragement to our community. All those can go in the offering plate a little bit later today. Well, during our service, we are going to ask for several volunteers to do a few things. I will get to that a little bit later, but one volunteer specifically that we'll need, and you can be thinking about this right now, is for someone to pray at the Lord's table today. I typically do that, but if you are so moved, if God's Spirit moves you to be the one to do that, then be thinking of it, and we will talk about that a little bit later in our service. All right, our call to worship today, if you will stand, please. This comes from Psalm 86, 11 through 13. Would you receive this? And then Andrea will come and lead us in a few more songs. We'll do the Lord's Prayer, and I invite you to remain standing during the Lord's Prayer, which I will come up and lead. Psalm 86. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Let's worship God in song together.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship.
Beauty that made
in a moment if you'll join me in the Lord's Prayer, please, after which we will have our silence after hearing. Typically, we do this for other readings and the Gospel of Matthew. Today, though, we're going to read those a little bit different, and so this is where our silence time will be. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll enter into a time of silence after hearing. It'll be up on the slides, King. Join me, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation.
More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love.
I'd like to invite our Roots friends to the Roots table if you'd like to be a part of that gathering back at the back right. Miss Brandy and Miss Ellery are waiting for you. You can join them if you so choose. Andrea, thanks for leading us today. We have some beautiful hymns. Thank you for doing that for us. I would like to apologize to Matthew at the start for squeezing in 23 of his verses into a compact 23-minute window of preaching. Each of Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 7 deserves a full standalone Sunday with enough elbow room, enough space to stretch out and bask in the sun. We've done that for everything else in chapters 5 and 6 since June 4th. But 7 will not get the same kind of attention, at least not in verbal form, for me this morning. I don't mean to diminish chapter 7's importance, as if I could possibly do so, but there is so much more in Matthew's gospel that is calling out to us, and December's Advent season will be here before we know it. If we are going to have baby Jesus' room ready in time for the birth, we will have to step on the accelerator just a bit. Next Sunday, we'll spend considerable time thinking about the last section of the Sermon on the Mount, but today we'll touch on 5 sections from chapter 7, what I am calling brief homilies from a deliberate collection. Brief is the operative word, hopefully, but deliberate is the purposeful one. If something piques your interest, then by all means explore it more on your own. Better yet, ask someone into conversation with you. Incidentally, brief homilies from a deliberate collection might work for Matthew chapter 5 through 7 as well, if Sermon on the Mount ever falls out of favor. While Jesus was conscious and calculated in his words, he did not expound much on them either. His life would do that, illustrating these very teachings through the people he would meet and the bread he would break. I'll need help today in the form of volunteer readers. We have 5 different readings, and so I'll need 5 different readers at different spots. Those will be up on the screen throughout this section. I have asked Luke, our friend Luke Waltman, to walk around with a microphone, and when the time comes, if you are willing to read what's on the screen, then just raise your hand, and he will come to you. By the way, the last of our 5 readings is the longest. If that sways you one way or the other in volunteering to read, let's pray together and we'll read our first text. O God, you are our God, and earnestly this day we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, here's our first one from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Is someone willing to read this one? I have D right here in front of me. Luke, right here in the center. D Pipes is waiting for you, and King has it muted until D is holding it. Oh, is it Bella? All right, Bella is reading this one. Great. Thank you. Go for it.
Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is to plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from the other person's eye.
Excellent, Bella. Thank you for that. Thank you. Luke, you can just come and choose any seat you want, and then in a moment we'll walk around again. Do not judge, Jesus begins, and what a way to begin. If we didn't have judging others, we would not have America's Got Talent or balls and strikes at baseball games. We'd have chaos in our court systems, not to mention utter pandemonium at the National Dog Show. Judging others is our favorite national pastime, our way of life, our measuring stick. Judging others is the best way we have to differentiate me from you, us from them. It's also how we justify our choices. Judging others of their actions makes us feel virtuous about our own. To reinforce our judgments, we will listen to additional judges from our preferred news sources who will, in turn, shape and validate our conclusions. Sometimes we judge others of their habits or choices because those habits or choices are the very ones we dislike in ourselves. Judging others is the air we breathe. So when Jesus says, "Do not judge," we feel that twinge, that twitch in the eye. There is no escaping this teaching. When he adds on that you may not be judged, I don't know about you, but that's about the last thing that I want. Do not judge others means don't be judgmental. Don't jump on others' failures so quickly. Don't criticize their supposed faults to a fault. You are not a judge. That is not your job. God is the judge. And you cannot begin to presume to know what's going on in someone else's life. Now, this does not mean that we abdicate our task of making wise choices or from thinking critically through prickly issues or even helping someone turn around to a better way. The problem comes when the point of your judgment is accusation and reproach. I think it was DeAndre Gibbs who once told me that if you point your finger at someone else, more of your fingers are pointing back at you. I never thought that before, DeAndre. Jesus says something similar. He says to attend first to our own short-sightedness and, it turns out, foremost. What is stuck in your own eye that prevents you from fully seeing? Why, it's a log, a whole branch jutting out of your cornea. Of course you cannot see well. How about we lop off that hypocrisy? How about we chop down your patronizing tendencies? It takes a lot of courage and a lot of discipline to swing an axe like that so close to your face. But if and when you do, Jesus says you might then be fit to offer some tweezers of mercy to your neighbor. That's a good thing. For if and when you judge with mercy, then mercy is what will be used toward you. Second volunteer, please. We'll start over here. DeAndre, you raising? All right. Luke, we'll go right back here to DeAndre. There you go. You can just stand up and read it loudly. Yeah, we'll come back to it in a minute. Thank you, DeAndre. Thank you. We come to the verse in the Sermon on the Mount that is perhaps most confusing to me. I've never been good at logic puzzles, Sudoku, or Rubik's Cube like my friend Leo Kwan is. Did you know he can solve a Rubik's Cube in 30 seconds or less? It could be that I just don't have the brain power to do logic puzzles well, but it's more likely I just don't have the patience to do them at all. Jesus seems intent on exposing my weakness and understanding complexity by tossing out this pearls to pigs comment. I don't own any pigs, and if I did, I would not give them my wife's earrings or necklace. That would not seem very smart. Pigs don't even wear jewelry, as far as I can tell. I might be a bit more likely to give a strand of pearls to a dog because I like dogs and I used to have a dog. But even then, I'm probably messing up Jesus' metaphor. God knows that I would rather take things at face value than solve a riddle. But here Jesus says, slow down. Let's think this through. Okay. It appears that he is saying that the Sermon on the Mount is not for everyone. Dogs and pigs represent the danger of choosing to live the Jesus-directed life. If you expect people to treat with honor and respect that which you have come to treat with honor and respect, and see as sacred, that which Jesus teaches in this sermon, then think again. When you take what is blessed and holy, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, for example. When you do that and give it to dogs and pigs who will only treat it with profitable contempt, then most likely one of two things will happen. Either you will start to reduce holy mysteries to manageable slogans along with the dogs and the pigs, or you will find that they may trample God's holiness under their feet and then turn and attack you. While God does not want us to be stingy with our witness or our generosity, God does expect us to remain smart and wise in what, how, and to whom we give what is holy. Our call is to give to God that which is God's, to worship the Lord and serve Him only. This teaching, then, is about giving our full loyalty to God and God's way, rather than pledging our allegiance to the world and its powers. Our third reader, please. Luke, right up here to Mr. Steve. Thank you. You got a big voice. We can use it without the microphone if you need to. Yeah, we'll go without.
Ask and it will be given to you. See, you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, those who seek find, and to those who knock the door will be opened. Which of you and your son ask for bread and will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Thank you, Steve. If it's clarity and not riddles that you want, then this next teaching is for you. The dogs and the pigs Jesus just referred to do not know how to give good gifts, but God does. Jesus starts by inviting his disciples to give their trust and their prayers to God. He invites us into God's presence, and God provides not as the world does, but graciously gives us good things. By asking, seeking, and knocking, though, he does not mean that we will get everything we ask for. We know this to be the case because you and I both have come face to face with doors that do not open. That which we prayed for was not granted. Not right then, maybe not ever. You have experienced this in terms of prayers for relationships, or for jobs, or for health, haven't you? I remember during my very first year here at Southwest Central, we were having a time of testimony at the end of service. An older woman stood up at the back, right, probably around where Craig is, maybe a little bit further. She stood up, she grabbed the microphone, and she praised God that her most recent breast cancer test had come back clear. People rejoiced and clapped, and rightly so. Thanks be to God. I remember looking just behind her, and there sat a man who had recently lost his wife to brain cancer. God did not heal her, even though this church begged God to. In the distance of 15 feet, one prayer answered, one door opened as asked. One prayer, one door, not. What are we to make of that? Maybe this text is not as clear and straightforward as I made it out to be, as much as I hoped it would be. Maybe the best I can say for now is that when we pray, when we seek, ask, and knock, what we are doing is entrusting to God the whole of our lives. We entrust to God our needs, including our need for daily bread and for forgiveness, what Jesus himself taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Even Jesus' prayer of, "Take this cup from me," was not granted in the way that he wanted. But in the very same breath, he opened himself completely to God. "Yet not my will be done, but yours." If Jesus can be believed, then God will give us what we need when we need it. God has always been faithful to you. And God knows how to give very good gifts. One more thing I would like to point out. Since Jesus is talking to disciples here in the Sermon on the Mount, perhaps we can also read this part in terms of the Christ community. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find. Those who knock, the door will be opened. Can the church be God's answer to such prayers? If one disciple has need and asks for help, can members of the church open the door and surround them? If the church is to beam bright in the world, can we leave the front porch light on for one another in terms of welcome and provisions? For those of us who have been a part of this faith community here at Southwest Central Church for a while now, you know that the answer to those questions is yes. This seems to be what Jesus is getting at in his famed golden rule. Ask yourself what you would want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and the prophets, and this is what you get. A fourth reader, please. Luke, is this one working now, King? Potentially? All right, we'll try it. Is there a reader for our fourth text, please? We'll go D-pipes right in front of you.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it.
Thank you, Dee. I have shared with you before the story of my all-time favorite hike, Angel's Landing in Zion National Park, Utah. Far be it from me not to share it again. The 2.7-mile one-way hike is unlike anything I've ever done. The first 2.2 miles is pretty standard, if such a thing can be said, though it certainly leaves you huffing and puffing up all those switchbacks. It eventually drops you off at Scout's Landing, a relatively flat, wide, exposed section with picnic benches and pit toilets. Lovely views of the valley. This is where most people stop. But it's the last half mile that has everyone talking. From Scout's Landing, if you choose to go on, it's a 30, 40, 50-degree vertical climb up to Angel's Landing, up a skinny spine of a ridge with loose rocks and slippery slopes. Chains have been bolted into the sides of the mountain that you cling onto as you go. There are no guardrails here. The National Park website describes it this way: long drop-offs, not for young children or anyone fearful of heights. Last section of the route is steep. It's a steep and narrow ridge to the summit. If your nerves don't force you to turn around and go back, and if you make it to the top, magic. Surely, this is the place where God's angels, cherubim and seraphim alike, land and fall down on their faces to worship. You, of all people on this planet, get to experience this. When Jesus says to take the narrow road, to enter the narrow gate, he is convinced that life, God's life, unabridged, holy, secure, purpose-filled, is found there. But he also knows that most people would rather take the easier route on four-lane highways, stopping at roadside stands and convenience stores to purchase cheap religious wares at discount prices. On this wide paved road, cleverly named Christian Way or Righteous Road, people will praise Jesus for all that he's done, but miss the ongoing reign of God by declining to follow Jesus' teachings. It's easier to hit back if someone hits you. It's easier to hold on to the tangible treasures of the earth than the unforeseen treasures of heaven. It is easier to be judgmental toward others than to judge not. All that easy street leads to is a vicious and cyclical cul-de-sac of destruction, rather than the transforming patterns of life found in God. It is hard to follow Jesus sometimes, especially when he climbs at an angle we don't. The apple, as we know, does not fall far from the tree, and we all benefit from that. We give thanks to God for our shepherds. My shameless hope is that I can also add my name to that list too, agreeing with the Apostle Paul when he says to the Philippian church, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. If that can be true for me, then it can also be true for you, since preaching does not always require a pulpit. It requires, as we shall see next Sunday, a people who hear God's word and ask, what now shall we do? It's a good place for us to stop for now. Jesus has already asked a lot of us in the Sermon on the Mount, and today is no different. He has established the kingdom's priorities and says to take up your cross and follow me. I will lead the way, he says. Trust me. So this morning we entrust our lives to him once again, which is why we can say together, or we can type, Amen. Let's stand as we worship in song together.
One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see Spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ.
Be seated, please. We now have an opportunity to share the bread, which is Christ's body among us, and the cup, which is his blood. If one of you would be interested in coming to pray, to give thanks for these things, after that person prays, I'm going to ask for a couple volunteers to divvy up the bread and the cup and share it with the congregation at large. If you would like to do that, you can come forward and pray now.
Let's pray. Father God, we take this food, this bread and this wine, Father God. You said, Father God, in your words, this is my body, Father God, for the healing, and the cup of the wine, Father God, is for your body of blood. Father God, you said in your words, the leaves of the trees is for the healing of the nation. When we take this Lord's Supper, Father God, it's healing each and every one of us. Worry, anxiety, depression, anything that goes on, cancer, diabetes, anything what people are going through today, Father God, and forever. Father God, this is your body. We shall please you, Father God. And this is your blood that you died on the cross. So, Father God, as we take it, Father God, we believe and we receive your salvation and we receive the healing that runs through each and every one of our bodies. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right, thank you to those of you who served today. Jesse, thank you for praying at the table for us. We appreciate that. All right, now is a time where we can give just as we have been given. So that if you have any of those cards, you can place those in the offering plate as it comes around. If you have a tithe, a donation that you want to give, this is a great time to do that. You can also give online, of course. You can bring it to the office, and any way that you give it, I would appreciate that, or we would appreciate that. Alex, thank you for coming, and as well, these two guys will walk around right after I pray. Let's do that now, please. We give you thanks, O God, for this body of the believers that gathers here in this place and this time. Thank you for the ways that you have poured forth your blessings upon us, and we want to do the same with our entire lives and now also our funds. So would you take these funds, would you bless them for the good of this neighborhood and for this fellowship of believers. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to move on to family matters right here. We've got a couple things I want to share with you. Of course, Wednesday night is our prayer gathering. If you want to be here this week, are they still meeting? I know Larry's out of town. The gathering will still happen here at 7 o'clock in the lobby, and Ruth is a great person to ask if you have further questions about that. This is the last call, the last week we will talk about this for items for Braze Interfaith Ministry, which is our area food pantry. If you would like to contribute some of these goods and needs, the wooden boxes set out in the lobby, you can place everything there. We will take that to them this week. All right, we announced last Sunday and through our newsletter a couple of times, next Sunday evening we are having an ice cream social, which basically means we all get to eat as much sugar as we possibly can. This blesses our children and our parents well for that. This is going to start at 5 p.m. and go to about 7. This is just a time for fellowship, for fun, for this congregation to get together. We'll hang out in the lobby if we need to bleed into here a little bit. That is okay. Bring a dessert to share, ice cream, fruit, brownies. That would be great and helpful, so we can have that. We'll have games, we'll have board games set out if any of you want to be a part of that. If you want to bring your own set of cards, that's just fine. Bill Ward is going to be here, and he'll set up his guitar and play a little bit for us, for those who want to watch. We'll have activities for our children. So this is a wonderful event to invite your friends, your neighbors to, if you feel so moved. So that is next Sunday night, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. All right, a couple of weeks ago, you may remember we did this short thing, Family Matters, where we actually do Family Matters and not just simple announcements where I just get up and blurt what's going on. So in a moment, if a couple of you want to share, what news do you have about your life? Do you have any celebrations? Do you have any testimonies? Any recent visits to and from family? This is not a time to divulge your deepest and darkest sins, okay? We're not doing that. It's also not a time to co-opt the microphone. If some of those things you need to share with me or Shepherd, use us in that way. All right, so I want to share a couple. So yesterday, Chelsea and I drove to Waco, Texas to drop off, we met my parents in Waco to give Cora to them. Cora is spending another week at grandparent camp. Pray for us, please. We'll pick her up next Saturday. And along the way, we stopped and visited our friend David Lewis and the assisted living place there. So he looked good. He's hurting more now. His legs aren't doing too well. But he sure can navigate his motorized scooter really well all over that place. So we sat and talked for about 30 minutes or so, and so grateful for that. He wants you to know, I asked, what do you want me to say to the church for you? And he says, I love you. David Lewis loves you. He also keeps up with our church and talked about stuff that we've been putting in our newsletter, asking about the congregation that will begin sharing space with us September 1st, the Spanish-speaking congregation, so he's curious about that. But it was a great time to spend with David, and so thankful for that. I also want to point out a couple other things, and then I'll ask if you have anything to share. I hope that you read the newsletter this week, because Andrea Engel wrote a beautiful piece on the stained glass, both this one and this one. It's not just information. I felt like it was a sermon I was reading. It was so beautiful for that. So if you have not had the chance to read that, please do. Thank you, Andrea, for doing that. I also want to point out in our bulletin, we have some birthdays today, including our friend DeAndre Gibbs. How old are you now?
23.
23. Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday, DeAndre. We're happy for that. We have some other birthdays coming. Daryl Finley, Dexter Forrester, and Jeff Waltman. Happy early birthday. And David and Andrea and David Engel, as you talked about a couple weeks ago, your anniversary is coming up. All right, I'm going to stand up here with a microphone. You can just raise your hand, and I'll call on you, but I will hold the microphone. Yes, Nelson. Well, thank you for not. That's great. Good. Thank you, Nelson. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Nelson. A couple other goings on. Yes, Jesse. Okay, you went to Bull's Place on Thursday. King, you can turn this down just a bit for me. It's good. Yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. Jesse talked about a person that he shared Chelsea's sermon with. Chelsea preached last week on in Matthew chapter 6 on depression, anxiety, and worry, and that really spoke to a friend of his. Thank you, Jesse. Couple others. Ruth, I know that you had one. You want me to share it? So Bella scored 2 goals in her soccer game yesterday. We are so proud of Bella. Way to go, Bella. All right, any other news? Anything else that you want to share? Yes, Kay.
It was no surprise that I talk incessantly to everyone I know about my church.
Yeah. Yeah.
To follow our example, which I take great joy in.
Right, I do too. Excellent, excellent. Kay's talking about a couple of friends who are aware of what goes on in this congregation now and want to do something similar and be similar to that. That's a gift to receive. Thank you. Thank you. All right, anything else? Yes, Jessica.
I have a new job.
Jessica has a new job. That's great. And you you just started this last Monday?
August 1st.
Excellent. That's great. We've been praying about that for Quite a bit too. Thank you.
And Lizzie has her first tooth.
Lizzie has her first tooth. Excellent. That's great. All right, maybe one or two more. Bella, did you have one? Are you good? No. You and your brother going on a camping trip? Soccer championship. Very cool. We're so proud of you. We're so proud of you. All right, maybe one more. Jeff. Excellent. That's great. That's great. Jeff talked about Lily was at camp for 2 weeks. They went, Jeff and Lisa, they took the other kids. They went up to, is it Pines? Not Pine Springs. Camp Deer Run, and got to worship with Lily and the other campers and the staff there. And just what a great experience that was. Thank you for sharing that, Jeff. All right, thank you for sharing those things, those family matters with us. All right, if you have more things, you can go to the next slide. My clicker stopped working. We do have classes where you can share more of these things that are going on in your life, things you want to pray about. That's a great location to do that. And we'll also spend some time in God's Word and in prayer. And these are all over the building, and I hope that you choose to stick around and be a part of one of these. All right, as we finish this morning, would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction? Thanks again for being here today. Sisters, brothers, friends, let us lift our hearts in faith to the one who hears all our prayers, helps all those in need. God is faithful to you. Entrust God with all that you are and all that you have, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will be yours. Go forth in that peace and with great purpose.